Okay, taking payments online, talking about, and what I want to just make sure that everyone understands, Carol has asked a question just about the difference between the shopping cart, a gateway, and PayPal. So we'll kind of go over the differences in there, okay? And there's kind of three things that I mentioned, a shopping cart, the PayPal service, and then a payment gateway. And really what the here's the distinction between the way that they work. A shopping cart is, and Carol, ask any questions if you're unclear on something anywhere in this.
Okay.
If you're doing, a shopping cart is a piece of software or a script or an application that is either installed on your own domain or your own server, or it's installed on someone else's domain or server that you're having the right to use. And that's a shopping cart that does exactly what it says. It allows you to add products. It allows you to add descriptions of products. It allows you to create buy now buttons where people would be able to click to purchase your products. And once they've clicked to purchase, generally in a shopping cart, what happens is the shopping cart software collects some information from them. And specifically, it'll ask for the name and the email address, a shipping address, a billing address, that kind of information. It collects that information, the shopping cart software does. But at some point down the line or down the road, the shopping cart has to actually hand over the information that it's collected, and it has to hand it over to usually what's called a payment gateway. And a gateway is a financial institution or banking type of service that actually does the capture and authorization of credit cards. I'll give you an example. If you have a shopping cart software, you put the order in. When you click, complete, or complete checkout, for example, or buy now after you put your information in, usually what happens is that if you have, if it's running on your own particular piece of website, for example, you've got it working on your server, it's your website, what happens is your shopping cart software will securely send the information that it's captured to another application, a payment gateway, and it'll say, here's the credit card information that I've collected, here's the expiry date and the CCV code, and I want you to authorize their Visa or MasterCard or whatever credit card it is for this amount, and I want you to let me know if it's been approved or not. And this is what they're buying. This is the date, and it gives it a whole bunch of information. And that gateway sends a message back to your shopping cart that says, yes, this has been authorized for this amount. Go ahead and complete the sale. Or it will say, sorry, they don't have enough money in their account, or the information you collected is wrong. So that gateway is in behind the scenes, and it's the one that actually checks the credit card details to find out if the person can actually make that payment successfully. When it gets that information, it sends it back to the shopping cart, which then displays it to the customer and to you to say, yeah, there was a successful sale, and it does whatever it's supposed to do. Now, the interesting thing is that an example I just gave you, the shopping cart was, in this case, it was installed on your server. It doesn't matter where it's installed, and it doesn't necessarily matter where the gateway is installed. What has to happen when you do it that way is that it's secure. And that's when you have those things called a SSL certificate or secure socket layer certificate. And you can always tell you're on a secure website or secure gateway when it goes to that https://. Okay, so that's how you know it's secure, when you're letting that shopping cart send that information to the payment gateway. You know that no one can sniff or find out your details. Okay, so that's the way that most people, or a lot of people, do it. When they have a shopping cart software or a billing software, they have to have a gateway, a merchant account gateway, that collects the information and does the little transaction to the Visa or MasterCard or credit card company in the background, and then gives you an answer back. And some examples are of gateway companies. There's some, for example, one called Payflow. There's one called WorldPay in the UK. There's a whole bunch of them. And, you know, there's, I have some recommendations if you want to go on ones that allow you to do that gateway. But that gateway is basically taking care of all of the behind-the-scenes financial transactions. But as far as the user goes, they never see or leave your shopping cart as far as they know. Everything's done in the background. They stay on your site. They stay in your shopping cart software. As far as they know, they're not leaving. Only their information leaves, and it gets sent to this gateway. So that's one way of doing it. Now, the downside to this for people is that...
Wait a minute, James.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question there?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so you said the person never leaves your website.
That's correct.
But now, maybe I wasn't following you correctly. Don't they, or maybe this is the next thing you're going to talk about, don't they actually go to the payment gateway's website and they don't realize it because the two pages look similar?
No.
That's something else. Oh, okay.
When you have a payment gateway, an actual payment gateway,
okay.
They stay on, you know, for example, carolchapmanlive.com.
Right.
But it would be, the correct way of doing it is you'd have to get HTTPS set up on your order pages. So when someone actually goes through, it's going to be secure. They're going to fill in, I want quantity one of this, and this is what I'm willing to pay. And they'll say, here's my name, here's my address, my billing address, my shipping address. If you've got shopping cart software on your domain, it'll say, you know, what's your billing address? What's your other information? And it'll say, what's your Visa number? Enter the digits here. What's the expiry date? What's the CCV code, that little three-digit code?
Right. I understand that. The reason why I'm asking, though, is that there are times when you make a payment like that, you put in your information, and or maybe put in, it goes to another page, and if you look up at the URL, it says https://, and in this instance I'm thinking about, it says paypal.com.
Yeah, well, PayPal is not a payment gateway.
Okay.
PayPal is a third-party payment service. And that was the next example that I was going to give you.
Okay, so then we are. All right, good. Okay.
Okay, so the first example is a true gateway.
Okay.
Okay, so that's and a gateway, you have to be set up with the gateway service. They'll charge you a setup fee, and they'll charge you per transaction. And, there's some more stuff involved in that. The big thing is that when you do it with that first way I was just talking about, is that when you take that order from someone, you have their credit card details.
That's right.
And when you have your credit card details, that means that you have to make sure that the server, that the software for your shopping cart is secure. You have to make sure that the physical server is secure. And there's all sorts of standards now that you have to sort of be up on. I think there's one called CIPS, which is CIPS. There's a whole bunch of new ones that Visa and MasterCard have put to say to people who are buying, yeah, this person's got your credit card details, but they're also following the rules to make sure that it's secure. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way that people who are more experienced, they have more volume of business, they'll use a merchant account or they'll sort of move towards a merchant account. Okay? The other way of taking a payment online is saying, you know what? I don't want to have any of that information like a Visa or a MasterCard number. I don't want to know CCV numbers. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And what happens is that you go through the same process, but the person may be on your shopping cart software that's hosted on your domain again, and they could fill it out. They could put, I want quantity one of this item, and I want to pay this much money. Here's my name. Here's my address. And when they're ready to pay, it'll say, pay now. But instead of asking for their credit card details, what it does is it sends all the information that it's collected to a third-party payment processor like PayPal, and it'll actually send someone to the PayPal site to complete the transaction. But it sent the name, it sent the email address, it sent the quantity and the price, it sent all the information it collected, and it just allows someone to say, you know what, I'm either going to log into my PayPal account and use PayPal to pay for it, or if I don't have a PayPal account, there's that button that allows you to use the credit card, and then PayPal takes care of the transaction.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Yes.
So two completely separate ways of doing it. Okay? And there's pros and cons to both, but when you're starting out, it's a lot easier to do it just with PayPal.
For sure.
You know, the issues become, like, for example, I had orders today from Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
However, PayPal does not accept payments from Nigeria.
Oh.
So there's some countries that PayPal just won't accept credit card details from.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's in Nigeria and they want a PayPal account, they just can't get one.
Mm-hmm.
PayPal won't allow them to create an account. If someone doesn't even have a PayPal account in Nigeria, but they want to pay with a credit card, PayPal knows that their, you know, their internet connection is from Nigeria. They say, sorry, but you're not eligible.
Now,
okay?
Just following along with that, could you send them an email request for money?
No, in that particular case, for some countries, you're just not, they just won't do business with you.
Not at all. PayPal.
Not at all.
They don't, it doesn't have to be from your website.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. PayPal will not. So what do you do? What do you do
with
them?
You don't do business with them.
No.
If you're using PayPal, or you have to use another third-party payment system or gateway that would allow them to. So, for example, there's one called AlertPay.com, which is a Canadian version of PayPal that
mm-hmm.
allows it anywhere.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay. Does that make
yeah.
sense?
Yeah.
So just a little bit different. One's a third party payment service, the other one is a payment gateway.
Right.
You need
and
one or the other.
Right. And I am set up with the third party payment processor.
That's right. Now the interesting thing with PayPal
mm-hmm.
is by default, they have PayPal, the personal, and PayPal professional, which are the third-party systems we talked about. But PayPal also has Website Payments Pro, which is a third-party gateway.
Oh.
So they offer that as a service to businesses as well. And it works exactly like the first example we discussed. So they have both. The
and
gateway option and the third party.
Does the Website Payments Pro cost money then?
Yeah, for Canadians, for example, it's $35 a month plus a transaction fee. I think in the States it's just a transaction fee.
Oh.
So, you know, people don't have to have a PayPal account when you use the Website Payments Pro. They would just enter in their credit card details on your site with the secure settings. You know, you have to have an HTTPS thing, and it's set up, it's ready to go. In the background, it securely sends the information to the Website Payments Pro gateway at PayPal. PayPal charges the credit card, sends the details back, and it's done. They don't go to PayPal. They don't have to log into a PayPal account. None of that happens.
Okay, I just got confused. Sorry about that. This Website Payment Pro.
Yep.
Is the gateway that you described to begin with.
That's correct.
And it means then, is this correct, when someone would buy something from my website right now, when they buy something from my website, I have a shopping cart with you called My Small Biz Cart.
Yes. Yeah.
And I liked that you had all the videos, and
yeah.
I was able to figure that out all by myself, which
mm-hmm.
was really great
yeah.
and exciting. So I've got that on a number of my websites,
yeah.
and I do notice, though, and I love that it takes like the same header as my website
mm-hmm.
does.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are using it, they feel secure.
Yeah.
You know, I like that, and they just use it. Go ahead. But it goes to a URL, like I said, that says https://paypal.com.
That's great.
And that must, I don't know, I've never used it myself on my own website. However, people seem to be secure enough that they just go ahead and they buy it, and then they are sent back to my website, and they get a thank you, and they get a receipt to their email, and then I get a notice saying that this person bought this, and then I send it to them.
Yeah, so that's the third-party PayPal traditional third-party service that they have.
Okay. Now, if I had this website payment pro, it would be different.
Yeah, well, first of all, my cart doesn't accept it. That's why I said before we started taping, my shopping cart does not have a plug-in for website payments pro, as an example. So you can only use PayPal with it.
Okay.
The regular PayPal third-party service.
Okay.
So that's why I stopped at the beginning before we started taping, but I just wanted to answer the question because it's one that comes up.
Okay. But it sounds as if I was to use the website Payment Pro, I would have to, is this correct, I would have to satisfy whatever the laws are or whatever that I would have to have a secure site. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Well, I'm not
And you'd have to have different shopping cart software that, you know, that was set up to work with either on a domain that you own, you'd have to install software, or you'd have to purchase a shopping cart service from someone else who allowed that gateway to work as a plug-in.
I see.
So it's a lot of extra work for, and here's the difference. You know, if you have one order a day, and you're getting by with PayPal as the third-party service with one order a day, don't change anything.
Right.
If you're getting one order an hour, then you have a completely different problem. And I would start looking and say, okay, you know, I've got consistently this, and I have multiple products. I need to get into more than a buy now button. I need to have a shopping cart. Then you're going to have to make some changes.
Okay.
But, you know, for a sale a day or any kind of situation where there's not a huge volume, or here's the other thing that happens is you sit there and you go, oh, I just put an offer out to all my customers who normally buy from me or who have bought from someone else in the past. I just sent an email out and I got, you know, 35 people in my shopping cart software tried to order, but only one person completed an order.
Okay.
Then you know there's an issue because you're not converting the people that are actually going through the order process on the cart, but they're stopping when it's being passed off to the gateway, right?
Right.
So that's how you have to sort of figure out, okay, great, how many people went to my shopping cart and ordered, and how many people actually successfully paid and were delivered the product or service?
Right.
So you'll know if people are having trouble with that payment gateway option that you've selected by seeing how many people tried to order and how many people successfully ordered.
Right.
So if you get them all wired up to buy, but they can't complete the sale, then that's an issue.
That's bad.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
No,
not at all. Especially after going through all that trouble of contacting them, setting something up.
Mm-hmm.
And now, how do I know that? How many people were there, and how many people bought?
Well, there's a couple ways of doing it. One is that if someone buys on the My Small Biz cart, for example, it'll go through as a they'll go through as a. If I'm not mistaken, it'll show. Does it show on that one? I can't remember. I don't remember if it shows as a potential order. I don't think that it does, but what you can do is you can set up your tracking, whether you're using Google Analytics or using My Small Biz tracking. You can say everyone that pressed this particular button called the Buy Now button, what you do is you set a goal of the button click of the buy now button, and then you assign it a value. For example, if you know that the sale on a page or a site is worth $27, what you do is you say, okay, each click is worth $27. Because you know if someone goes buy now, they should buy, right?
Yes.
So you would set it up as a goal, and then you'd be able to take a look after the end of the day, end of the week, end of the month to say, oh, you know what? I had 97 people pressed on the buy now button.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just, and, you know, so I should have that action was worth 97 times $27.
Mm-hmm.
You should know that you got, you know, $2,700 worth of value there. And then you look and say, okay, well, what did I actually have in sales for that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had $28. Well, then there's a problem.
There's
if
a
you had 28,
problem.
Yeah. If you had $2,800, then, you know, things are working well.
Right, okay. And is that my small biz tracking? How much does that cost?
That one is only a couple bucks a month for unlimited sites.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And that one's kind of nice because the difference between, for example, Google Analytics, which is free, and the My Small Biz tracking is that Google Analytics, you usually have to wait 24 hours before you get to see anything.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So the Google Analytics, you know, they keep the data in behind, and they have your data. But they hold it back for 24 hours before you actually get to see it. In ours, you can download your data, and more importantly, you get instant. So if you set something up and then you go and test it, you can actually go and see what happened when you're looking at the tracking information in the background.
Right, and you certainly want to know right away if something's not working. You don't want to have to wait 24 hours to see.
Yeah, exactly. So
okay,
if you know, let's say you buy AdWords or something, or you buy advertising, and you spend $100 a day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to spend $100 a day and then find out 24 hours later that you did something completely wrong. You just cost you $100.
Right. Yes. Okay. Well, that's very interesting, and...
Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, yes. And I didn't know that there are these ways of tracking, because this is something I haven't thought of before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what happens with me, if someone can't get in, I get an email.
Yeah.
Where somebody's saying, I don't know what's going on with your site, but I thought you should know that.
Yep.
I tried this. But then it makes me think, what about all the people who just said, well, screw that. I'll go buy something else.
And it made it too hard for someone to actually buy, and they won't buy from you.
Yeah.
And, the last people to complain are the ones that are wanting to buy from you, but they're, people are lazy.
Right.
At the end of the day.
A lot of people are intimidated as well. They,
yeah, sure.
They assume, there's a lot of people that assume right away they've done something wrong.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to do this, and they'll go somewhere where they know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
yep.
the other thing that happens. And, yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think if there was something that, do you want to talk about something else?
Yeah, sure.
Even though you're taping.
Fine.
The other thing is we've been talking about affiliates.
Yep.
Okay, so I've been looking into that, and we talked about that the last time. But what if, remember I told you I saw somebody had a site, and they were selling products that were like under $20, and you only got 8%. Well, that just didn't seem like enough.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
And
the only time you would consider that, in my opinion, is if it's for recurring income.
Oh, that makes sense. If it's like a monthly fee.
Yeah, and
so,
it's something that's a a commodity item that people are going to have to use once they get started.
Mm. So that's a good question as far as your site goes, because.
Yeah.
You have you have certain recurring fees. You still have the you have a yearly fees. You have monthly fees.
Yep.
do you also have lifetime fees? So, yeah. So you've got a bunch of different...
That's right.
Yeah.
And I have different commissions for each of the different offers.
Oh, okay. And don't you go two tiers down as well? So
I don't do for regular members, but if someone is a joint venture partner that we're doing something together, generally no. And the reason, this is an interesting one, is the reason is that because I use PayPal to do the payments, PayPal does not allow second-tier affiliate commissions. Here's the way around that. One of the pieces of software that I recommend to people is the Rapid Action Profits software, which I talk about in the Earn Money Without a Job program. And that that software uses PayPal, but it will do two tiers. And the way that it does it is that PayPal has an issue with if you get a commission of $100 and you give one percentage to one person and another percentage of that single payment, if you split the payment up and give it to different people, that's when PayPal has a problem. But what RAP does, or Rapid Action Profits does, is it actually sets up, for example, let's say you did a 50-50 commission to someone. What happens is that the first purchase, 100% of the commission goes to the vendor, the person that's, you know, that owns the product. But the second commission, 100% of the profit goes to the affiliate.
Okay.
So, and it does it automatically. So instead of having to, you know, wait for your money as an affiliate, wait a month. If you promote something from someone's site who's using this Rapid Action Profits, the RAP software, let's say you promote a product and someone buys four products, or four people sell, in that particular case, you know, four people buy, you would get no commission on that first sale from each of those people that have purchased. Or pardon me, the first person would purchase, you'd get no money. The second person that purchased with your affiliate link, you'd get 100% of the commission right away, instantly.
Okay.
The third sale, you wouldn't get anything, but the fourth sale, you'd get 100% of the commission again.
Okay, so that's how the 50-50 works.
That's right. What they do is they do one-time payments, and they're instant. They're instant, so you don't have to wait for a commission check from someone. And the RAP software is kind of neat about it, because what it does is says, you know what, we're going to pay them instantly. And the caveat is, when you're an affiliate, you have to use your PayPal address.
Okay.
So you have to be a PayPal affiliate to be, or account holder to be an affiliate.
Right. Okay. I didn't get how that overcomes their restriction on second tier.
Because they also have another level in the RAP software that does the same thing, but it will take an amount for a joint venture partner as well as the affiliate.
Oh, okay.
And it does a split again.
Okay. So with this RAP software, though, if you only make one sale, do you not get a commission then?
Nope, you don't get a commission on the first sale.
So you've got to sell at least two.
Yeah. But you get 100% commission on the second sale.
Right.
Yeah. And that's an example of a 50-50 split.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now, this is something that, while I'm looking into this,
sure.
I have, there's, like we talked about last time, there are some people, there's lots of people, you're one of them, who has affiliate opportunities.
Yeah.
So you can go to your site and sign up for it, or I can go to someone else's site. I haven't done that yet, but it's all set up.
Yeah.
Now, what if I wanted to do something with someone who's a friend who doesn't have, they don't even know anything about this. They hired someone to do a website for them, and they've got three or four products, and, you know, that's that. Mm-hmm. So now I want to work something out with them. where...
So that you earn a commission on referrals that you make to them?
That's right. So,
okay.
What do you suggest?
Well, there's a good question, and this is what I've done in the past, is that what you do, it's sometimes they're called named commissions.
Okay,
and here's an example. Let's say, and this often happens with bigger sales, as an example,
mm-hmm.
is let's say that I have a friend named Carol,
mm-hmm.
and I want to refer her to another business associate that I have who does roofing for houses, as an example.
Okay.
And that roofing has a website where they can take online orders and you make a prepayment for a credit card and all that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Okay. So what I would do is I would go to the roofing company and say, look, I have X number of customers or 5 customers that I would like to direct your way, but I'd like to get credit for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, you know what, do you have an affiliate commission yet? Or do you have a referral fee that you offer people for online? Usually they call it referral fees in that
right.
case, because
if
the other person isn't really too up on things.
Right.
And then what you do is say, if they say, yeah, sure, I can pay a referral fee, and you ask them, how would you like it to work? And in most cases, they'll just say, well, give me the names of the customers, and when they order, I'll make sure that you get compensated X amount.
Right.
Okay? Now, the thing is, you give the names, you know, Bill Smith, John Smith, Daryl Smith, Carrie Smith, and Tammy Smith. Okay? You
yeah.
give the names, and you tell those people, you know, go see Bill the roofer. He's going to give you a great job, yada, yada, yada. And then what you have to do is, you know, you have to follow up later with either the people that you've referred to them or
mm-hmm.
to the company and said, you know, were any of those customers happen to buy? And it's almost like an honor system at that point, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a traditional sort of referral with a named referral kind of strategy.
Gotcha.
And that's what you normally do. But if someone, you know, if you were going to do a mailing out to someone.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, so that's a little bit harder because what you're going to do is you're going to say, look, if the other person doesn't have an affiliate program.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do, the best way to do it, is say, look, can you make up a special page for my customers?
Okay,
so let's say they sell widgets. You could say, you know, widget.com, Carol's customers, and have them make a special page.
I see.
And you send your customers specifically to that page.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's harder because if they don't have any way of tracking it, what you need to do is you need to make sure that in an example, like in the My Small Biz mail service,
mm-hmm.
you can do link tracking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say what you do is you set it up to say, look, I'm going to send these emails out to my customers. They're going to have a link to this special page that we set up for me, as an example. It doesn't have to be special, but it's easier to track that way. And
mm-hmm.
and you can say, look, I'm sending out to my list of X number of 1,000 people, and you know, it's the honor system. You got to tell me if they bought. But what you do is you put a tracking link in your email that you send out to them, so
mm-hmm.
that you know that if you send out 1,000 emails, you know that 250 of those 1,000 people clicked on the link to their site.
Oh, okay.
And you know, you ask them beforehand and say, well, you know, if someone comes to you, what kind of conversion do you have? Well, they say, you know, 1 in 10 usually buy from us. So if they go to the page, that 1 in 10 will buy. So you say, okay, great, that's fine. You know that 250 people went to the page.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know you should get 25 sales out of it, right?
Right, right.
But it's an honor system at that point, so it's a little
right.
bit more difficult. But that's the way to do it. You would, you know, you make sure you use a link that's trackable in your emails that you're sending to people.
Okay. And it would be a trackable link because it's different. It's got different wording.
Yeah, in My Small Biz Mail, it'll be like the link could say, you know, www this site or Carol's Best Friends Offer. You know, you make it as a hyperlink, but underneath it, the link will be a unique link from the My Small Biz software that says, you know, send the person to this page, but it tracks the fact that the link was clicked.
Mm-hmm.
So it knows how many people clicked on the link in the email.
Right.
It also, like, My Small Biz Mail is pretty cool because you know how many people opened the email.
Right,
and then you know how many people actually clicked on the link.
You know, well, I didn't know that. I've been using My Small Biz Mail for at least a year, and
yeah.
I do know how to track. I can see how many opened it,
and
it's amazing how you send the newsletter out, and you can see people opening it right away.
Yeah,
and then, you know, I mean, that's so cool. It's like, wow, it's
the
they're opening it right now.
Yeah, the neat thing is to always check on this, and this is something that I always do, is you can send the same email but with different subject lines, and you end up with completely different open rates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I test all the time just to see what the scoop is on which one opens best and which one doesn't.
I see. Although I haven't done that, I have noticed which topics people open for.
Yeah,
so,
same thing.
Yeah, so when I'd be talking about a certain, say, their interest in my e-newsletters or my emails, I can see it's dropping off.
Yep.
And then I know if I put crop circles in, say, by the way, everything starts opening again.
Yep.
So I learned that by watching that, but I didn't know that you could track the number of links that were followed.
Yeah,
so,
well, the number of links that were clicked.
That were clicked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not necessarily followed, but at least were clicked.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, well, I'll have to notice that next time. I didn't notice that. That's cool. Now, what I was thinking of doing with this friend, her products are like, between $15 and $30, okay, which is not a whole lot, but she gives a 40% commission.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone on a speaking engagement, it's basically her books,
mm-hmm.
and she had some books that fit with what I was talking about that I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And numerous people bought them, and I ended up with a 40% commission, just like I was a bookstore.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I didn't have to write the book. I didn't have to publish the book. I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, scary.
But, yeah, just put them on the table while I'm speaking,
mm-hmm.
and I end up making money.
Yep.
So I was talking to her today, and she said, yeah, sure. So but then I thought, what if I make the page? She doesn't know how to make a page, okay? And she said, yeah, that's fine. Just, you know, you can... I'll send you JPEGs, and I've got the blurbs, and so in other words, it would be on the honor system. Well, it's not really on the honor system. I would get paid, and then I would have to send her 60%.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So you've almost got, it's almost like resale rights.
I guess so. Yeah.
Similar.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out ways of, what I realized from talking about the affiliates, these are ways, I of course have been making my own products, but now I'm trying to figure out ways of making money without making my products.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, because there's only one of me, and this is one way of extending my influence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So then the other one is, this is another friend, we worked on this years ago. She loves my books.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a business where she makes, like, you know, how if a business has a convention and they've got a table and they might give away free things and then you put the logo on.
Yep.
So she makes products from bags, canvas bags, to t-shirts, to little pencils, you know, as a spread.
Yep.
And so we figured out a number of products that she wanted to use my photographs or the cover of my book or various mm-hmm. things. So this is something we were excited about a number of years ago, and it went nowhere because we didn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like in this case, she would make something.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, I wouldn't make the product. All I would do is maybe this, it's like she's getting a license to use my images to make a product.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Because we're right now, what happens is I think, well, I need to be doing this, and I think of it too late. I think as Christmas is coming, whoa, this is perfect for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I need to be thinking of it now in March, not in September.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, how would that... I guess I have to talk to her. In the end, that might work out the same way, where I make the website.
Mm-hmm.
People pay me, including shipping. And then I send her an email and say, send this to so-and-so. And
yep.
pay her commission for doing it.
Yeah, you have to be careful that it's something that is worthwhile for you to sell, that you can actually sell, that it's a good product. Because the last thing that you want to do is get into a thing where you're doing all the work on her behalf and she's getting the most of the commission.
That's true.
Like, what's the incentive for her to actually, oh, great, Carol's going to do all the work, and I make most of the commission.
And I'm not sure exactly how it works, how much of the commission is. From my point of view, the fact that she's burning the T-shirt, that she's packing it, that she's taking it to the post office or the UPS store,
That's what you've got to look at. That's all I'm saying. Because there's the cost of production, but there's also the cost of marketing.
Right.
So, you know, you've got to balance it out and make sure that you're happy with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make sure you're comfortable with it.
Yeah. And what kind of a headache could it be down the road if somebody gets something and it's broken or it wasn't...
Yeah.
You know, on and on and on, because that affects my reputation with the people on my list.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. I hear you. Okay. All right.
Okay. Does that answer some of the questions?
That answers tons. It gives me a whole bunch to think about.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the thing off now, the recording.
Sure.
There we go.